I'm ready to see his collection.
Roadrunners? This is a good one.
I told you we're in sync.
What's that? Batavia Muck Dogs. This is a farm league baseball team.
Yeah,
not even farm league, like low farm league.
I had a feeling.
There's a movie with Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jessica Biel. Summer Catch or something like that.
I remember it, but I don't remember.
So he, at the end of the movie, from playing in the Cape League.
Kyle has a sixth sense of movie memory.
He got drafted by the Muck Dogs, who I think are with the Phillies?
Could be. These are like, this isn't even a farm team. This is whatever's the next tier down.
Like single A?
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah. All right.
Well, welcome back to Scratch That. Boss Austin in the house. Shout out 242 Nizzle.
Yeah, I even got the shirt.
I love that shirt.
I love that.
I gotta get a shirt.
Oh, I thought it said DJ College at first. I was like, man, he's running a whole university over here. First he's a mayor, now he's a dean. My gosh.
When he's in the nursing home when he's old, he's gonna be putting it together. I got classes. Yeah. Come learn how to DJ.
You can enroll. Either of you can enroll.
All right. I don't think you ever graduated. Anyway,
brother, so. I just got my PhD from you because I went out to see you at Gin Mill, and you hit Colt 45, I Gotta Get High, Sugar We're Going Down, some Post Malone, Britney Spears, into Blink 182, within 3.5 minutes. Educate.
I mean, it was awesome. It was awesome. But were you drinking that night?
No, I was so. We'll get on the sobriety in a second.
As awesome as you remember.
You post some wild stuff on Instagram in your stories about songs that you're playing.
Yeah, I agree.
I've never heard of. I'm like, how does he have the gall to go and play that song? And I gotta look it up. And I'm like, where is he playing this? So like, creative.
You gotta take a risk.
You got crates back when crates were probably real crates. And, like, you could dig stuff up. But the one thing I love is, A, your versatility in an open format. The versatility, and you could go play a country bar for 4 hours. Mm-hmm. The next night, go play emo night for 2 to 4 hours without breaking a sweat.
Yeah, I've always been into – that's how I got into DJing. I was like a music nerd. I liked all music, whether it was rap or emo or country or whatever, and I just like kind of learned it all. Nowadays, that's a little more of a task. There's so much music out there.
So much. But you said something. Was I drunk? This is something that we've been wanting to talk about.
No. At the end of the last show, we asked his favorite karaoke song.
All right, I'm going to let Will run this.
I'm going to run this segment, by the way. Back pocket karaoke song right now. Not to sing it, but.
So a karaoke song that I'm going to put on and get up and sing?
You're at Blonde Pig and Noda right now, and you got to get.
Noda 101.
No, excuse me, Noda 101, and you got to get everybody together.
So first of all, there's a two-part answer. Personal song, I'm singing Lukenbach, Texas by Waylon Jennings.
Do you know that song?
I've never heard it.
Uh-oh.
We're opening this episode with that song.
Yeah, please do. But that's not going to get the crowd going. If I want to get the crowd going, I'm doing Dear Maria by All Time Low.
Ooh.
Dear Maria.
We got to flip that.
Yeah, we can.
I love that.
Yeah, I've got a couple cool edits of that song because in the past couple years, it like kind of bubbled back up or whatever.
Yeah. That's Plain White Tees, right?
All Time Low.
That's All Time Low?
Yeah. Am I right?
That's all No. Yeah. I think you're right.
I'll be so mad at myself if I'm wrong. No, it's All Time Low. All right. For sure.
It'll be forever recorded if you are wrong, but we won't hold that against
you. No, you know, I'm Receipt Checker McGee over here on my phone.
All Time Low. For sure.
All right.
So, Kyle,
you go.
What's your go-to karaoke song? You know, I got a couple different.
My go-to karaoke song would be Standing in the Back of the Room. Watching people. It's the one thing
you don't
I'm not
do karaoke.
Watching. I have done karaoke once in my life. I'd probably sing Pony. Maybe.
Get out. That doesn't count.
No.
I feel like Drop would be the guy that would go to the karaoke host.
All right. Like, it would seem like Lizzie McGuire, What Dreams Are Made Of, or something like that. You know? Like,
okay, so I've done karaoke once in Minneapolis when I was hammered back in the day after a show. And I sang Last Train Home by... And I won't be on the last train home watching that. What is that, Finger 11? Shoot, now I gotta fact check myself real quick. I tried to sing the lyrics hoping somebody...
No, never heard of it.
...catch my tone deaf.
Finger 11?
No one in the bar knew it.
Good call. So I'm going, depending on my... depending on where I'm at, if I want to just go full belt mode, I'm going Sunday Morning, Maroon 5. And if I want to start moving around, I'm going Sexy Can I Ray J. And people love that.
Oh, Sexy Can I Ray J. That's good.
That gets people going. They love that.
Very early on when Ray J was first coming on the scene, I DJed at this urban hip-hop club, and he came in and hosted.
While you were DJing?
Yeah. It was when he had that song, I Hit It First.
Yeah.
And that was like his little hit. And he came and hosted. And I got to hang out with him afterwards. This was very many years ago. 2008, maybe? Maybe prior to that. Maybe 6. I don't know. I'd have to look up when that song came out.
All right. Fact check. Got receipts. Lost Profits.
Is that who sings the song that
Last Last Train Home. Tell me you've heard of Lost Profits.
I've heard of them, sure.
I've never heard of them.
You've never heard of them?
We'll maybe get a soundbite on the actual podcast.
Yeah.
All right, switching gears, because Drop alluded to something on a more serious note. So I was watching a video on Instagram, and they were talking about how David Guetta has the hardest work ethic, and they talked about how he'll go play, you know, nightclub, whatever. As soon as it finishes, he's not doing the afters. He's going back to a studio working on music. Yeah. Talk to us about just a generic sense of, like, I think a lot of people think DJs fully like party all the time, and some of them do. I certainly have, but a lot of them are grinders. They don't drink. They work out early when people think they're sleeping in and hungover. Walk us through what you see with DJs, and then your own journey, if you don't mind.
Well, I mean, everyone's different. I mean, like we talked about before, DJing is more than just the DJing 10 to 2 at the club. Like, there's making tracks, there's staying on top of current music, there's even your marketing and whatever. So you got to work, I don't want to say 24/7, but you got to work a lot. You know, David Guetta didn't make his first track till he was 40.
It makes me feel so good about myself.
No, seriously.
Shoot.
He's 40 this weekend.
Oh, wow.
No, I love scrolling through Instagram and seeing people that became successful, Colonel Sanders, after the age of 40, and so it does. Sure. It gives me a little hope. Anyway, sorry, well, not to digress.
But the older you get, that list gets shorter. So
in this question too, like, do you think like the public view of like everybody parties maybe the way that John Summit perceives, like, is that fair or not fair? Your thoughts on that?
It's probably more. I don't know. I know a lot of DJs that definitely party, and whether that's, you know, have a couple shots when they're drinking. I know a lot of DJs that go way further than that. But on the flip side, I know a lot that are completely the opposite, like myself, like 100% clean. I think now, there's more DJs not drinking or smoking pot or doing whatever. I think DJs are taking it more serious than they were before.
Yeah.
Because it's so competitive. I mean, you can't really afford, like, I mean, I feel like any time spent hungover or maybe a bad show, inebriated, sure, like, you're costing yourself a
kicked out of the club and never coming back. Dude, you just lost yourself, like, that reoccurring.
Rob said to me on the phone, he said something about John Summit, and obviously we follow him. He's a party guy. He's slamming a bottle of vodka, and I don't know if he does coke or he makes jokes about it, but Drop said, well, you know, he drinks like a fifth every time he DJs, and my response to that was...
That Don Julio, baby.
For now, he does.
Right, correct. Yeah. I got my Summit shirt on, by the way, for today.
I saw that. Just to be festive on it.
But look, you're really open about this. You actually kind of helped me with my journey through some moments here in the DJ career. And it's still a struggle some days, but you're open about your sobriety.
Oh, yeah. You want to talk about my sobriety?
Yeah. When did you decide? You don't need to say how or why, unless you're open
I'll
to it.
I'll say all of it.
Yeah. When did sobriety for Boss come into effect?
So we're talking I have a little app on my phone. 9 years, 4 months ago. So we'll call it 9 years. Are you asking me why or how it came to be?
Whatever you want to share.
So prior to that, since teenage years, so I'm 45. So 9 years ago, we'll say I was about 35 years old. So teenage, 17, 18, 19 through 35. I was a hardcore party dude, drinking, smoking pot, doing all the drugs, all the ones you've heard of. That was progressing as I got older. My career was taking off probably from age 30 to 35. I was starting to get a really lot of opportunities, DJing bigger clubs. And as the career was going this way, so was the drug use and the drinking and the partying. And eventually they crashed into each other.
Now, do you think that was because your confidence behind the decks, or was it boredom? Like what made that paradigm happen perfectly for you, where you became more successful, you partied harder?
Well, you know, I'm an addict, and addiction is progressive. You know, you're going to keep going.
Yeah.
If you push it to this limit, you're like, well, let me see if I can push it.
Was it just with DJing, or were you, I get it. I get the addiction thing, but did you find yourself outside of DJing fiending just as much? Because like we both know, that is a gorilla on your back who taps you behind the ear constantly.
I was doing drugs 24 hours a day, like not just DJing.
Right.
Obviously, when I was DJing, the alcohol, the lights, cameras, all the attention on me, I was very obnoxious party guy. I was known as the guy. I was going to come into the bar. I was going to get fucking hammered and throw a beer bottle against the wall and get on the mic. And
no chairs off the roof in Nashville, though, right?
No, never okay. Got that far. Luckily, I stopped before I got to that level. And then it was just progressing, and then it started to affect things. I mean, I got fired from many places for being messed up, or I would forget things, or I would just make really questionable decisions while I'm DJing. You know, when you're DJing, like, I'm not going to say you're the most important person at the bar, but everybody knows what you're doing, what you're saying on the mic. And some of my employers at the time were like, hey, hello. They were like, we got to stop this. There was some other stuff, too, that had happened.
Yeah.
I mean, I was pretty deep into drugs. Like, I didn't have any money. I was always broke. My car got repoed. I never kept a girlfriend long. They would always dump me after a while. And, you know, so all those things combined, I still had DJing. Once that started to go away, you know, I got fired from a couple places or banned from a couple places. And I was like, shit. And then
I remember the first gig I lost from a very similar situation. Looking back, I'm like, oh, that wasn't a huge venue. But for me, that was like, it was one of my bigger venues in DC on my come up. And I was like, oh, dang, I hope this doesn't mess up my reputation. It didn't stop me from still wilding out every time I had a chance, where it was like, yeah, you get two free drinks at the bar, but you know the bartenders before you know it. It's like those two free drinks turn
into 20. Well, DJing's a weird job because you're allowed to drink, you're allowed to smoke weed. You're expected, but you're expected or allowed to be a party guy. There's not any other job like that. You know, my brother can't go to his office job tomorrow and just rip a shot in a meeting or just light up a joint.
Right.
And people can be like, oh, that's fine. So like a lot of DJs, like they can't keep that under wraps, and it gets ahead of them.
So that pivots me to my next question for you, because I got my own. Will and I were just talking about this right before we got on here. What was your first gig like after you got sober?
Oh, man, that was that. So when I went away for a little while to get clean, and I left all my DJ jobs, and I came back. And two things happened. One, I didn't think I would ever DJ a nightclub ever again. I didn't want to be around the booze or the weed or the coke or whatever. And I was like real scared about that. But I still loved DJing. And in that time, I had nothing but time. I had no job. I was away. I didn't have any friends other than the guys I was staying with, and didn't have a girlfriend. So I was like practicing like crazy. And up until that point, I never got super technical, like with the turntable tricks and stuff. But I had this newfound clarity in my brain, and I was like going in every day, every day. So then I came back to Charlotte with no plan to DJ. And one of the bars I had worked at previously, so I was like, hey, can you just DJ this one night? We'll do like a party, like a comeback party. It'll be fun. And I took a friend with me, a DJ, because I was like, I can't fucking DJ 4 hours. I'm more gonna be out of that club quick. I went and DJed, and my manager, the manager of that club who'd seen me DJ for years, he was like, dude, like, what did you learn? And then from there, I started DJing again slowly. I wasn't DJing 3-4 nights a week. It was like twice a month, and it was 3 times a month, 4 times a month. During that time, because I was freshly clean, so I was pretty nervous about being around booze and drugs. But during that time, I was like heavy in the recovery scene, like every day going to meetings, reading books. I had the sponsor, the whole deal. As time went on and I got stronger in my mind, it became irrelevant. I don't care about the clubs, you know, or the beer around me. But what's funny is, I'll say this, people think because I don't drink, I don't smoke weed, don't do coke, whatever, they think because I don't, that I get mad at them or judge them because they do. Mm-hmm. And that's not true.
Right.
I don't think badly of people if they drink or smoke pot or do right. whatever.
And you've been really supportive of me, like, through my thing. I wish I could say I went fully sober when I started, but I would still, like, you know, you bought me a shot one night not knowing I was sober, and you didn't take me off the wagon or anything like that. But I will say, like, being around it at first was excruciatingly difficult. Especially people that knew that I used to drink didn't know I stopped, and they still offered drinks, and I'm like, I'm good now. But I will say, we had very different responses to first gig back being sober. I'll say the thing that helped me with that was when I worked for a DJ agency for event DJing and wedding DJing, and they had a strict no alcohol policy and would check in on you sometimes and stuff. So that helped me get there. But man, when I hit, I forgot, it was some gig that you booked me when I decided to go completely clean and not drink at all. Like, I went from being sober where I'll socially drink to maybe just drink when I DJ to now, like, basically no alcohol at all. I was so nervous DJing. I was so in my head the whole night because I'm so used to being relaxed when I DJ. And
you're so used to it. You got to relearn it, like motor memory.
I really had to start working on DJing sober, which I had never done. I hadn't done in years.
I think for me, it's like, I feel bored, right? Like, there's a lot of risk reward to drinking. Like, ooh, the more tipsy I get, the more I might, you know, try a scratch or a beat match that, like, I know I wouldn't do. And nine times out of
liquid
10,
courage, baby.
You land it and you're like, I'm that guy, top G.
Of course.
But now I'm just like, low key, I get bored sometimes. Bored in the sense of like, not the music I'm playing, but like, okay, it's 1 a.m. and I'm drinking water and this is so cool because everybody's not.
Right.
Right. Yeah. No, I get it.
And you see,
you know, you talk about alcohol or drugs. People said, how can you be around it? And I always compare it to like an ex-girlfriend. Like, okay, your girlfriend breaks up with you. You see her the next day. Well, that's going to jam you up. Okay, in 3 months, you see her. Jams you up, but not as much. 3 years, you see her, you don't even care.
No.
Because you're better now than you were.
And then 10 years, you're like, I don't even remember dating that guy.
True story.
That's how I feel about drugs. Like, I don't even think about that.
And let's tie our last conversation in this one together real quick, and we'll let you go, brother. You know, John Summit, bottle in his hand. But I think if he had to get up and do what we did sober, maybe he would still struggle because I don't know what kind of a DJ he is. He's not a Steve Aoki who can truly actually DJ or DJ AM. Sure. I think it's a lot easier for him to jump around with a bottle in his hand and run through that 1 through 25 set list that he's got on that USB. I don't know. Like, maybe he's got the nerves. That's why he drinks. I'm not trying to give him more credit, or maybe he's just a party boy, but I don't know.
The thing about alcohol and stuff is it affects people differently. You know, for all we know, it might not affect them, or might, you know.
Yeah.
It's so hard to put a finger on that. I mean, I know DJs that don't drink at all. I know DJs that if they have more than one shot, messes their night up. I know DJs that work for me that drink a bottle of Jameson while they're DJing, and it doesn't affect their performance at all.
I think if I were to drink again, I'd be an absolute slop mess on the ones and twos, man. Like,
yeah.
I don't think I could do it. I mean, Yeah,
it's different. I tell the DJs that work for me all the time, they'll ask if they can drink, and I say, I don't care what you do when you're DJing, drinking or otherwise. It's not a problem until it's a problem. If I hear that's about right.
Until,
it.
Like, until boss pulsing. Gets a phone call. Hey,
until you get a phone call from the mayor. Last question here as we wrap up. So this could be somebody that wants to work for you or somebody new to the DJ scene, agnostic of Charlotte, but they're calling you, you know, let's say they have a year of experience. Like, what are you expecting out of them? And then also, what's your advice to somebody that's just cutting their teeth?
So what I expect of them is they got to be willing to learn. And I tell DJs this all the time. I can only teach you to do things the way I do. If you want to do what I do, to play the style I do or similar clubs, I can teach you that. I can't teach you to be a John Summit. I can't teach you to be a hip-hop scratch turntable guy. What they should do, you know, they need to meet as many people as possible, DJs, producers, promoters, bartenders, bar managers, bar owners, even bar patrons. And they should go out and actually see real working DJs. I don't want them sitting at home and watching Dom Dallas set from Coachella on YouTube. Guilty. Like, they need to go see Guilty. Drop at Blind Pig. Go see you wherever you're at. Even if you're at a wedding that night, go see how you do a wedding. Go to where I'm at an emo night. Yeah. See how it's all and start to... You know, DJing is a huge puzzle. You got to put all these pieces together. First thing you got to do is collect all the pieces.
It's so good.
Putting them together. So you got to, like I said, you got to go see Will and how he does a wedding. Go see Drop at Blind Pig. Go see me at Emo Night. Go see DJ Kid over here at a hip hop club. Or go see Dami spin house at Trio or whatever it is. Start to put those pieces together.
Yeah.
Most DJs don't have a direction. They just want the end goal. They see the guys on Instagram. They see me at Gin Mill and the lights are going and the crowd's going crazy. They know that's the goal. They don't know how to get there. And the getting there is more than practicing in your room.
That's a good point. All right. Last question for you. So when are we going to see Boss Austin at Trio?
Trio? maybe. I could make a phone call and play there. I'm not an EDM guy.
I know.
I mean, I can be.
I know.
I mean, I'm good friends with Angela.
So you're better than EDM.
Within EDM, if you were gonna go play, would you be like traditional house, tech house, big room? I don't think you'd be dub. Although most former punk rockers like myself, I love Skrillex. Dubstep. I love dubstep.
He is a bass.
So I do like that stuff. I don't like to play it, but I like to listen to it. I'm a big like drum and bass guy. I know that's not gonna go over well, but I'm a sucker too for like those big room edits of the songs we play, like the Katy Perry Firework, but over top of some Hardwell track where it's just got an insane drop. I don't love like tech house and bass house. I'm too ADD. I don't have any patience. Like I've gone and seen guys, girls spin house super deep, long, and I'm like, all right, let's go.
Yeah,
let's
right. Get, yeah, you know, agreed. Agreed.
I went and saw Loud Luxury, and they were like, and guys like, two friends and that are just like bam, bam, bam in your face. They're playing songs that we all know, but they're
sing-alongs with big drops.
Yeah, basically.
So, take notes. Taking notes, but yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Boss Austin repping the 2429. Thank you, brother, so much for being on here with us again today. Yeah, man, and thanks for sharing your story for real. I know a lot of DJs are probably closet addicts and probably definitely struggle, and not just DJs but a lot of musicians that get caught up in it. So
I get a lot of phone calls.
I bet you do.
Guys and girls.
And it only and here's the thing, it only takes one story, one source of encouragement to rewrite your own story. And there's a DJ in Charlotte, doesn't even need to be named, that I saw posting about some of that stuff that really encouraged me. So I appreciated that. And I appreciate, you know, everything you've done for us too. So
yeah, man. Like, dude, you've been a guy who I've texted laying, you know, in bed at night when I've been
thinking about me.
Thinking about other things. And I'm just like, man, how do you deal like with these demons some days? And dude, you've brought me out of itching for for a night out. And no, man, I appreciate you in more ways than one. You know, the DJ career, the sobriety, the whole nine. I know Will's super grateful too, man, getting us in places. Yeah. So thank you so much, man. Thanks for being on the show.
And I'll tell you this, everybody is stronger than they think they are. They just don't know how to get that out of themselves. Like I tell that to addicts or people struggling with drugs, alcohol. I say you are stronger than you think.
Not to joke on the sobriety at all, but I'm gonna call you because I gotta get off the Zen. I literally have a Zen in my mouth nonstop now, and I can't. Yeah?
Is that like the little packet?
Yeah, the nicotine pouches.
What are you, tasty. In middle school?
You're the one over here blowing on a vaporizer.
Yeah, but at least I'm probably in high school. At least I'm in high school.
Yeah, yeah, at least you're in high school. You at least listen to Billie Eilish, not like the wheels go around the bus or something. Yeah.
He's probably got cotton candy flavor in that thing.
I'm like
anyways.
A junior in high school. You're like in seventh grade.
I stole my daddy's tin.
I actually bought Zins.
Oh, what, baseball man. Player? Well, Will, man. Brian, hey. Thanks for being on here. Willie.
Keep Absolutely. It real. Keep it safe.
Keep it real safe and scratch that. See you guys.
Bye-bye.